Good evening. Hope you're all doing well. Today we're learning Maseches Bava Metzia Daf Lamed Tes, and we're starting on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, right in the middle of the page at the last of the very short lines. Yesterday the Gemara made a comparison, one that in light of where we're holding in Klal Yisrael was a little bit painful, standing on a nerve. The starting point wasn't standing on a nerve. We were discussing a Mishnah that's on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph as to whether or not when I'm watching your fruit, and I see that the fruit is starting to turn, am I allowed to sell it in order to prevent you from losing out, yes or no? And there we saw Machlokes Tanoim, where the Tanakama said, Lo yiga bohem, let it spoil. And Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was of the opinion, don't let it spoil. You should be mochron bifnei bezdin, because it's kimeshi vaveda bifnei bailam. And the Gemara posed a question yesterday, which we ended up rejecting on the top of Lamed Ches and the Beis. We were discussing whether or not we would apply the same thing to someone who is a shavui. We know there's so much of this happening right now. If you have a person who's a shavui, they're a captive. So do we assign a family member to go take care of their property? And the Gemara's assumption was that there was a comparison between our Mishnah, where there's this din, at least according to Rashbag, of Kameshi Vaveda, I want to prevent damage from you. The Shavui hasn't been home for 6 months, so maybe it's better that we should go into their property and help, yes or no? And the Gemara yesterday rejected the comparison. So today we're picking up right there after the rejection of the comparison. Lememra, if you're saying that our case, the Mishnah Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, by the fruits that are turning, is not comparable to the properties of the captive, as those properties are decaying, Lememra, that seems to imply the trade ta'ameninu, that there are separate logics that are employed, one for our Mishnah and one for a Shavui, because otherwise, in principle, it should work the same, which is things are decaying, let's intervene. That which should be true in our Mishnah should be true by a Shavui, but that's not the case. After all, how can you say that they're trade ta'ame? After all, v'ha'am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shmuel, his name is important here, Shmuel said halacha kerashbag, which means that we are mochran bifnei bezdin. That's our din in the Mishnah Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, that if you're holding my fruit and the fruit is turning, if Shmuel says we hold like Rashbag, then we sell the fruit. And v'amar Shmuel moridin karo v'nichzei shavu. He has the same exact svara by the shavui as well, that we do appoint a family member to go take care of the property of the shavui. Those two things seem to be the same. Lav mishum dechad taimahu, that were considered about meshiva veda slash the person losing out. Again, that broad area, not to be overly specific in language. So it seems from Shmuel that they're both one and the same. So that's how he paskins ladina. So if Shmuel paskins that way, that both in our Mishnah, and in regards to a shavui, that we do intervene when something is turning, either the fruits in our Mishnah or the property of the captive in the case of a shavui, they all seem to be one reason, says the Gemara Lo. Really, tre ta'ame ninu. Really, the two issues are completely separate in halacha. They do look similar, but they're not similar. And says the Gemara, hachanami mistabra. It's actually logical to assume this, because look at this. Domar Rava, Omar Rav Nachman, halacha kedivrei chachamim. Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman that when it comes to our Mishnah Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, in regards to the food, the vegetables that are turning, we follow the Chachamim who have the din of Lo Yiga Bohen, and yet the Amar Rav Nachman Moridin Karvan Nichse Shavui. Yet when it comes to a Shavui, we do assign someone to intervene. So here, Rav in the name of Rav Nachman highlights that we have Shitas that live in opposite camps. You have the shita that when it comes to the fruits that I'm holding for you, that as they turn, lo yiga bohen. And then when it comes to a shavui, we say yiga bohen, right? They have opposite svaras. So that shows us that that's the case. We therefore see the trei ta'amenin hu shmamina, that even though by Shmuel they happen to be the same, it's not because they have the same halachic svara behind them. He just happens to paskin similarly in both cases, but really there is no thread that connects the two cases. And just to be sharp about it and to be super clear, the din of our Mishnah, which speaks about fruit that is turning, and we try to extend it to the world of a Shavui, the answer is that no, the two things are not comparable. They're trei ta'amei ninhu. There are different rationales in halacha that apply to both. And that is the end of that sugya, at least in great part, at least in the basic form of the sugya. Now, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel, skipped a line, Itmar, Shavui Shenishba, if you have a Shavui who is held captive, Rav Amar Ein Moridin Karov Lenechasav. Rav was of the opinion that Ein Moridin, that we don't assign someone. And Shmuel Amar Moridin. Shmuel says that we do assign someone, like we saw a couple of lines ago. And this is in context. So that was where we tried to ask from Shmuel that it seems like it's Chad Taimo. So we see that Shmuel holds this way. Now let's qualify this Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. We're 5-6 lines into the wide lines on Lamed Chesem and Beis. B'sheshama bo shemeis, if they nebach hear that one of the captives or that the captive that we're talking about died. We just heard this news now that they found the body of a captive. So when you hear that, kule alma lo pligi de moridim. At that point, there's no doubt that we get a family member, likely the family member who will be the Yoresh, to go take over the property. At the end of the day, it's going to go to the family member sooner or later. What are we waiting for? Kipligi, the only time that Rav and Shmuel argue is b'shelo shama bo shemes, when it is unknown as to the status of the captive. So says the Gemara, Rav amar ein moridin dilma masilu. Rav says that if the captive is potentially alive, we just don't know that he's dead. We also don't know that he's alive, but we don't know that he's dead. So then we don't assign a family member because Dilma Mafsidlahu, perhaps they won't do a good job of watering the grass, of fertilizing the grass, of planting. They may not be a Baki Badover, they may ruin it. And then if they ruin it and the guy shows up, who's paying for the losses? Masha Enkein, Shmuel Amar Moridin. Shmuel says, no, we do send a family member, Kevan de Amar Mar, because we say, Shaiminan Lahu Ka'aris Lo Mafsidlahu, that because the family member who's working the field is spending time on the field. So let's say that there's a Shavui and I'm a family member. So I'm appointed by Shmuel because Shmuel says you appoint the family member. So I'm down there working on the field. I get paid like an aris. What that means is that if the Shavui comes back, I can say to him, welcome back, big hug. I love you, so glad to see you. By the way, I've been working hourly for you in for the duration of your captivity. You owe me X amount of money. And therefore, says Shmuel, because you're being paid, lo mafsiduhu, you're not going to ruin it. So here we have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, that when we don't know if the captive is dead, Rav says that we do not assign someone because we're afraid he's going to ruin the property. Shmuel says we do assign someone because since he's paid, we don't assume he's going to ruin the property. Now let's analyze. Mesve, 2/3 of the way down, we have a brisa. Rebbe Lazar Omer, Mimashma Shenamar, because the pasuk says in Sefer Shemos v'chara api v'harakti eschem, this is a tochacha pasuk, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, v'harakti eschem, that he would kill the men, referring to the men in this case, says the Gemara, now that the pasuk has been half quoted, Yodea ani, I know that once the husbands died, Shenishoseim almanos v'neim yisomim. That's how it works. When the husband dies, by definition, the almana is an almana, and the yisomim are yisomim. I don't need the rest of the pasuk to tell me that, but it did. Elamat Talmud Lomar, why does the pasuk continue to say v'hayu nisheichem, that your wives are in fact almanos and your children are yisomim? Why are you stating the obvious? The Torah's parchment is real estate, and it's very precious. Every letter is extra. Every letter needs to be there. So it's not extra. Every letter needs to be there. So why does the pasuk say that when the man dies, that therefore the woman's going to become an almana and the kids will be yisomim? And those are dvarim pshutim. Says the Gemara, Malamed, what does this come to teach us? A very sad and difficult sugya, and there are people who are in this boat, at least for the current stage, that the wives who are interested in remarrying are not allowed to remarry. When there's a captive, but we don't know the status of the captive, we don't assume death and we don't assume life. We just live in a place of suffix, and we don't know what the story is. Therefore, she cannot remarry because of the halachic concern of aguna and eshes ish. Uvneim rots and leir the nichse avin, and the boys were like, "Listen, you know, even if the boys believe deep in their hearts that their father was dead, but if they don't know, they can't start taking over dad's property as a yerusha. Ve'ein manichen osan, and we don't allow for them to become owners of the family. Now, this is a problem because what did we just say in the last sentence here? We said that the boys, the family members of this of the man who died, that they wanted to go take the property, but we don't allow them. But that's Shitas Rav, which means that this whole thing is a kasha and Shmuel. Shmuel, a little bit earlier, Shmuel, 6 lines into the wide line, said, Shmuel Amar Maridin Karl Donachasa. Shmuel said, you're allowed to go down into that property. Over here in this Brisa from the Pasuk of the Tochacha, what do we see? That Uvneim Rotzin Lered Lenichse Avihan Ve'ein Manichen Osan. Not going to happen. So that's what the Gemara says is a kasha and Shmuel. Says the Gemara, no. Amar Rava, what did that Brisa mean when it was talking about the man that died in the Tochacha and the extra psukim to teach us that a woman is not allowed to remarry? Amar Rava, Lered Velimkor Tznat. All we're saying is that the boys are not allowed to go in and sell the father's properties. That should be ABCs. You can't go into someone's properties and do that. That's not allowed. But Shmuel does hold that you can assign a karov, you can assign a relative to do whatever he needs to do. And the Gemara now tells a story. 3/4 of the way down on Lamed Chesamid Beis, in the middle of the width of the wide lines, Havdu'uvda ben Nahardah. There was a case like this in Nahardah where there were captives. Upashta Rav Sheshes mehamas nisan. And Rav Sheshes tried to paskin from this Mishnah that we just learned about, which is difficult because Rava just qualified that Mishnah as not talking about the same thing. Rava just told us that that previous Mishnah was talking about a case where we said that the children are not allowed to sell their father's properties, but they should be able to assign a karo. So says the Gemara, Omar le Rav Amram, I don't understand you and Nahardah. Why did you learn it that way? Levid v'limkort not. Why didn't you learn it the same way Rava did? Amar le, he said to him, Dilma, perhaps mi pumpadisa at. Maybe you're from Pumpadisa, dema'ailin pila, who take an elephant and they place it bekupa demachta, in the eye of a needle. This is a little bit of a mashal of how they thought the people in Pumpadisa learned. They thought that the people in Pumbedisa would take these crazy svaras, square peg, and put it into a round hole, meaning you're coming up with these cockamamie svaras that you're trying to employ in halacha. Now, it's okay to do that in the base medrash when you have halachic banter. There are things like this as well. There's a discussion in the what's it called, the Sefer of Rav Yashiv Kovetz, Chuvos. It's pretty easy. In the Sefer Kovetz Chuvos, he was discussing a halachic shaila of a woman who was halachically a nida so far into her menstrual cycle that she always ovulated before she got to the mikvah. So it was a bit of a problem. They couldn't conceive. Now we can control that with medications. 80 years ago, they couldn't. 70 years ago, whatever it was. So they came up with this mental gymnastics. If you insert a tube by the cervix and the blood of the cervix, the dam nida leaves the body without ever touching the basar of the canal, then technically nida raisa, she's not a nida, and perhaps she never became a nida in the first place. She doesn't ever have to go to the mikvah, and she's good to go. It's not a psak that you employ. It's a square peg, round hole. It's mental gymnastics. So that's what they were saying about Pumpadisa. You guys are taking an elephant and trying to squeeze it into the eye of a needle. After all, the reason why you're not correct about your understanding is because v'hadumya didn't show sehem uvneim ktani, that when the Braisa spoke about the mother who wasn't allowed to remarry and the son who became a yasom and who wasn't allowed to take the properties, they had a comparison to one another. Mahasam klalo, just like over there by the isha, out of concern for the fact that her husband might be alive, there's a 0% chance she can remarry. Af hachanami klalo, here too, the same exact thing is true. The sons are not allowed to have any access whatsoever. Now the Gemara broadens what seems to be our machlokes into a machlokes tanoim. Umoridin shavui. The discussion of whether or not, when the shavui is assumed to be alive, the discussion of whether or not we're allowed to appoint a family member is actually a discussion in the tanoim. Says the Gemara, 10 lines from the bottom of Lamed Chesamid Beis. Hayora the nichse shavui, a person who goes into the properties of a person who's a captive. Ein motzi eno so miyado. No, there, yeah, we don't take anything out of his hands. Lo'od, not only do we allow the person to go into the property of the shavui, so let's say a family member goes into the home of the captive. Not only that, Ella, afilu shama shem mashmashinu vayin v'kadam v'talash v'achal. Even if the karov, this is horrible. This is bad family dynamics. If a karov hears that the shavui is on his way home, he can chap a rayin still and go harvest. Okay, it's not nice, but it might be mutter. Says the Gemara, afilu shama shem mashmashinu vayin v'kadam v'talash v'achal. Hare ze zoriz v'nizkar. Okay, ve'elu hay nichse shavuyin. What are considered to be the properties of someone who is a shavui? Hare shahaya aviv o echav o echad min hamorishin. If it was a person's father, a person's brother, or anyone from whom he inherits, halchu lehem lemedina sayam v'shamu bahen shemes, and that person went out of town and they heard that he died. Hayored lenichse nitoshim, which we'll soon say is properties that he was forced to give up. If he goes into a property that he was for that the original owner was forced to give up, motzien osamiyadu, that we don't allow him to go into. What are these properties that one is forced to give up? And we didn't even hear if the person died. We don't know. So one shita seems to say that you're allowed that in this case, in the case of Eluhei Nichse Nitoshim, where he's forced to give it away. So we say there that we do allow him to take the property because Velo Shamu Behen Shemes, he's allowed to go in. Look at what Rashbag says, four lines from the bottom. Vamar Rashbag, he says, no, Shimon ben Shimon Gamliel Shamati Shanitoshim Kishvuyim. Sorry, the Tanakhama says you're not allowed to go into the property. Rav Shimon Gamliel says you are allowed to go into the property. So we see it's a machlokes tanoim. So that's what the Gemara wants to recommend. Now, we're not done yet with the Braisa. Hayor l'nichse ritoshim, if you go into a property that a person gave away by choice, not like the original case of nitoshim, we're going to discuss these odd words momentarily, then motin oso miyada, you're not allowed to keep that property. What are these properties? Ve'eluhei nichse ritoshim, harei shahaya avi vo'echa vo'echa min amarishin kan. They're right here. Ve'enu yodea l'heichan halcha, but we don't know where he went. So that's a case of Ritoshim, where he's standing right here. 5 minutes later, we can't find him. It doesn't mean he's held captive. It doesn't mean he's missing. Maybe he went somewhere privately. Maybe he's in the bathroom. You don't know. You don't know where he is. Pasha, you can't go into his property and take it. That's obvious. It says the Gemara in the last line, Ma'ishno hanach dekar lehu netoshim. U'ma'ishno hanach dekar lehu ritoshim. What are these weird words? We said netoshim means that it was a property that you were halachically forced to give away. And ritoshim means that you were not halachically forced to give it away, but you did give it away. So says the Gemara on the top of Lamed Testament Aleph, Nitoshim is from a pasuk that is well known. Nitoshim debal korcha. That means that it was forced to be removed from you. Dichziv, v'hashavi is tishmetena unetashta. That's what Nitoshim is from, is unetashta. In Shvi'is, you're forced to give up on your field that year. You're not allowed to keep your field that year. That is a field that you have no choice but to get rid of. And therefore, we call it netoshim from the pasuk of unetashta, masha'in afka asa demalka. What removed that property from you was the king. That is capital K. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. There's nothing you can do about it. That property is no longer yours. However, ritushim is demidaita, and that comes from your own knowledge. And the pasuk says in Hosea, we're not going to learn the whole pasuk, but in context, it's im al habanim ro tisha. And we're talking about a case where the property was given up on its own. Now, the end of the Braisa that we've been learning, the one where we saw that there is a machlokes between Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and the Tanakhama about whether or not we say Moridin Karl Nichse Shavui, whether or not we allow a family member to go into the property of a Shavui. The end of that Braisa reads as follows: Tana, Lama Tesamid Aleph on the fourth line, Vichulam, and in all of these cases, when in fact you go into the property, Shamin Lahen Ki'aris. You get paid like a worker, like an aris. So says the Gemara, Ahaya. We had numerous cases in our Mishnah. We had Ritoshim, we had Nitoshim, we had a regular case of Shavui. What was this line on? The line over here that says on the fourth line, V'chulam shaman len ke'aris, that the person gets paid like an aris, Ahaya. Which case of the previous Brisa is this talking about? Ilema ashivuyin, if you want to say it's talking about the first case of the Brisa, well, you'll recall that Hashta Zoriz Viniskar Hava, since this guy, even knowing that the Shavu is on his way home, he's allowed to be a Zoriz, he's allowed to take the food, then May de Ashbach Miboya, Pashad Zoriz. He gets to keep all the food. Obviously, he's gonna make a lot of profit. So that can't be what this line of Vichulam means. Ella says the Gemara Aritoshim, if you want to say it's talking about the line of Echulon Shaman Lahen Ki Aris, that you get paid like an Aris, is talking about a case of a property that's Ritoshin, that's a field that you left me daitan, v'hamotzin oso miyadoktani. That, we take them out of that case. You're not allowed to do that because it's midaito. The Gemara gave the example that we just don't know where you are. You ran away. We don't know where you are. Ella, it must be anitoshim. It must be that we're talking about a property that you were forced to give away. And how then does this Gemara say v'chulan shaman lahen ka'aris? Says the Gemara lemat ilema lerabbanon. If you want to say according to the rabbis don't allow you to go into that property. Ha'amre motzien osomiyat. Any Reb Shimon ben Gamliel we saw in the bottom of Lamed Chesem and Beis, he holds ha'amar shamati shenatoshin kishvuyin. He said that we do allow a person to be morid. So again, this line only makes sense according to one. But what was the point of it? What was the point of the line? Who were we helping? So the Gemara says, you're 100% right. It's a great analysis, and it does apply to the camp of Nitoshim, but we're talking about a case of Kishvuyin velo Kishvuyin, velo Shvuyin. It's a case where it's kind of like a captive. The case of Nitoshim is kind of like a person who is held captive, and it's kind of not. It's kishvuyin. It's similar to a case of a captive where we say de'ein motzi en oso miyado. And velo kishvuyin, it's also not like a shavui because the ilu hasam zaris beniskar v'ilu hacha shaymin lekaris. The chiddush is that in a case of netoshim, we say that the chiddush is that you are paid like an aris. You're not supposed to do it, but if you do, then you are paid like an aris. Says the Gemara, a quarter of the way down in Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, how is this any different than a Mishnah that we've already learned in Maseches Ksubis? Hamotzi hotzos al nichse ishto. If a woman brings nichse malug, she brings gifts into the marriage. Nichse malug is a gift that a woman brings into a marriage. She owns the principal, and the husband owns the peros. So a great example of this is an orchard. The keren, the principal, let's say the orchard prices in at $5 million. She owns that. But I can improve the cost of that by, I don't know, I grow it better, and now I make $6 million a year, I get the $1 million profit as a husband. It's one of the perks of a woman bringing nichseh mulug in. She has something that can create money for the couple, for him. So says the Gemara, in that case of hamotzi hotzos al nichseh mulug, if a man invests into the nichseh mulug of the isha, hotzi harbe v'ochal kima, or kima v'ochal harbe, if he invested a lot and only yielded a little, or if he invested a little and yielded a lot, masha hotzi hotzi, uma she ochal ochal, whatever he gets, he gets. What we don't see is that the work that he did for the nichse malug gets paid like an aris. Yet it seems similar to our case. Says the Gemara, no, halo damya elalaha. That's not a good comparison. The Gemara doesn't actually say why it's not a good comparison, though we could probably think of a few differences. But the Gemara says the case from Ksubis of the Nichse Malug is not a good comparison. A third of the way down, Holo Damya, Elalaha to the following. Elalaha de Amar Rav Chizda is what it says on the side. It's not the Tanan. Hamotzi Otzos al Nichse Ishto Ktana, that if a person spends money on his wife, who is halachically a Ktana, Kimotzi al nichse acher damin. It's like you spent it on a random regular person. Alma, what do we see over here? Kevan de lo samcha daite. Since a husband knows that when he's married to a ktana, that she could leave the marriage at any time, what we refer to as miun, because a ktana, her whole kiddushin is only derabbanan because she's not really of age from a das perspective. She could literally just walk away from the marriage. So since the husband is lo samcha daite, because he doesn't know if she's going to stay the marriage, and she could always leave and take whatever's with her, takinu le rabbanan ki hechi delo lifsadinu. The chachamim over there made a case scenario where he can have some teeth, at least a little bit, some teeth in this marriage to hold on to things because we want him to be invested in the marriage. But hacha, in our case of netoshim, hacha nami, maybe we should say takinu le rabbanan ki hechi delo lifsadinu. Perhaps we should have made the comparison over here that we don't want people to lose out. And maybe that's why we said that that on the case of Nitoshin, he gets paid like an aris. Let's go back to this line of Echulan Shaman Lahen Ke Aris. We already told you what the case was. We said the case was Nitoshim and it's Shvuyin Velokish Shvuyin, and that you get paid like an aris. But what the Gemara is picking up on now is Echulan Laisu Yemai. This we know, that whenever we have a language that's super broad, like a language of kol, we almost always pick up on it. So the language of the Mishnah, quoted four lines down from the top and quoted again here, is v'chulan shaman lahen ke'aris, v'chulan le'asuye mai, says the Gemara, le'asuye hada amar av nachman amar shmuel, shavui shenishba moridin karov l'nechasa. This we saw, that Shmuel says, that we're moridin karov l'nechasov, that if there is a shavui, we appoint a family member to go take care of that property while the person is a shavui. Yotza ladas, ein moridin karov l'nechasov. If a person is yotze ladas, so then ladina, technically speaking, Rashi says over here, the last of the thinnest lines, yotza ladas, ein moridin, the kevan dehaya shav. Shipui b'daito, because his das is slipping, v'lo tzivo b'lechto leire l'nechasav sh'mamina lo nichale. Because the person never said anything as he was losing his das, you're not allowed to go in there. Rav Nachman didei amar boreach harehu kishavui. This is a fascinating halacha. If a person runs away, we actually view them as a shavui, as a captive, which is a little bit interesting. So says the Gemara, that's where Rav Nachman holds. Boreach machmas mai. It says it depends. What do you mean boreach is a shavui? Doesn't it depend what he's running away from? Ilema machmas karga. If a person's running away because the IRS is chasing him, the karga is the head tax. So he's running away because the guy doesn't want to pay the head tax. Hainu ladas. That's running away. Liyata ladas. That's when you run away on your own. You're doing so from your own volition. Goodbye, I'm leaving. That's not kishavui. That doesn't even enter yet. You're whatever. You're like trying to skip out on alimony payments. You're just not being a good guy. That's different. Hainu ladas. Ela boreach machmas miradin. Perhaps we should assume that when a man is running away, such that Rav Nachman would say that it's moridin karov l'nechasav, that we treat him like a shavui, that's if he's running away because of miradin. What is miradin? When a person is running from miradin, Rashi tells us exactly what's going on, four lines into the middle width lines of Rashi. Shaharag es hanefesh, this is talking about a case where a person killed someone, uparsoi horigin al shvichus damim, and the Persians, they kill for murder. Kedemim bava kama. Miradin hi ritzicha baloshon parsi. Says the Gemara, over here, they are going to retaliate. It just couldn't be more accurate. Like the discussions in today's news about, you know, retaliation, Iran, it's a little spot on. So what the Gemara says is that their punishment was merida. Now, we know the word merida from Hebrew, which means rebellion. This word is not a Hebrew word. It's a Persian word. And what the Gemara is saying is that when the guy is borech, it's machmas miradin, he is running away from miradin, which is the punishment of the capital punishment of being killed for murdering. So if a person runs away like that, that's not yotzei ladas. That's you running away because you're petrified of the Persians killing you. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shavui Shenishba. Let's say that there was a shavui, there's a captive. V'hiniach kama liktzor, he left something to be harvested. Anavim liktzor, he left grapes to be plucked from the vine. Tamarim ligdor, dates to be gathered. Zesim limsok, or zesim that should be brought to the press. Bezdin yordan l'nechasa. This isn't about a karav anymore. Bezdin goes into that field and takes ownership. U'ma'amidin aputropis, and they appoint someone who is going to be a watcher just to make sure that everything goes smoothly. The kotzer u'boser v'goder mosek, and they do all of the appropriate harvesting respective to each of the different types of things that this shavui is growing at home. Only afterwards, after the apotropos watches all the harvesting, then we appoint a karo. Says the Gemara, why? Why don't we just keep the apotropa there the whole time instead of the family member? It's a little bit cleaner. It's a bezdin appointed person as opposed to a family member. There's less skin in the game. And the apotropos we know is going to back out when he's done. So the answer is that the apotropa lediknani lomukminan. The apotropos is not meant for bearded people. L'diknani is a zakane, an old person. A zakane is a beard. Zakan is a beard. So that's why a zakan and zakane are the same exact words. So the Gemara says an apotropos is only meant for older people. It is only meant for younger people. It's not meant for older people. That's why we don't appoint an atropos over here. And therefore, in this case, where the shavui had left their farms ready to harvest, Bezdin can go in there with an apotropos, and that apotropos can manage that. After the food has been harvested, then we bring in the family member. Says the Gemara at the two dots, eight lines before the bottom of the page on Lamed Tes, Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Huna, three dinim that we're going to analyze. Ein moridin katan l'nichse shavui. We never allow a child to be the person who takes over a property when their family members are shavui. Lo karov l'nichse katan. We also don't have a karov go into a katan's field. We'll analyze why this is true. Let's say the katan had an estate that was bequeathed to him and he's whatever. Well, for whatever reason, he actually owns it. We don't allow a family member to intercede. Lo karov machmas karov l'nichse katan. We also don't allow a family member of a family member to go into the property of a katan. We're now going to analyze all three of these shitas. Five lines from the bottom, six lines. Why do we not allow a child to be the person that's assigned to watch over a property? He's a child. What does he know about agriculture? He's going to put too much water, put too little fertilizer, put too much seed, not put enough here, and he's going to make mistakes. When we say that a family member of a family member cannot take care of a katan, what is this talking about? That's talking about be'ache ima. It's talking about the brothers from the mother's side. We'll discuss that in a minute. Below karo v'nechse katan, why can't a family member go into the property of a katan? Because a katan doesn't know how to advocate for himself. Kevan to lo machi, because a katan, I have katanim in my family. One of my children tonight told me I'm standing up for myself because she didn't like what I made for dinner. I said, sweetheart, we stand up for ourselves when people are mean to us. We don't stand up to ourselves when we want to rebel against what our parents made for dinner. Let's just get this correct, okay? So this child, it's adorable, as she advocated with a quivering lip. It was adorable. It wasn't cute in the moment, but as I stood out of it, it became cute. Only now that I'm saying the story again. Very cute story. So says the Gemara, this child is a child. What does the child know? The child doesn't know anything. Same thing. Imagine a gerus, a gir katan. This kid doesn't know how to give a macha. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a katan. There's no das. So says the Gemara, if a katan taka does own a property, and the katan is a shavui, and then they have a karov going into that katan's field, it's not a fair scenario. I'm just making this up. You have a 50-year-old man who went in to go take responsibility for a 10-year-old's property. Kevan de lo machi, since the kid can't advocate for himself, the 50-year-old is going to end up with the property. Nobody's taught. It's in your best interest. I'll manage it. Whatever. It's just such an easy scenario to manipulate that we're not going to do it. Amar Rava says, Shama mine midrav huna, what we can infer from Rav Huna is ein machzikin b'nichzei katan, that we are not going to be machzik, we're not going to hold on to the properties of a katan. And says the Gemara, ve'afilu higdil, this is true, turning to the top of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, even if he becomes a gadol. This is amazing. Now the katan, who was a shavui, now he's back and he's 13, 14, and 15. Still, that property, you're not allowed to bring any family members there. And v'lo amran ela ba'ache de'aba. This is only a limit in regards to ache de'aba, but aval ache de'ima leslan, but there's no concern about the brothers of the mother, assuming, again, they're half-siblings. They have if the common person is the father, we're concerned about the family member because of Yerusha. But if the common family member is with the mother, if they're similar on the mother's side, we're not worried because the Yerusha doesn't go through the mother. And ba'ache da'aba nami lo amar ela ba'arasa. That's only when we talk about land. Aval bevate, when we talk about a home, less lanba, and the Rishonim explain, because that's what Rashi says 10 lines down. Why is it that if there's a house, we don't care if a person is a karov? Because shashchenim me'idin alein shabo l'chalko shel katan. The neighbors, what are you talking about? This isn't your house. The neighbors will chime in. And ba'arasa nami lo amran ela de lo avid itada. The only time we say that land won't work is when there is no shtar that's written up where there's a delineation of properties. That's what an itada is. About avid itada, if in fact there was a document, call it islu, everyone will find out about it, and then you can even have a karo for the katan. And says the Gemara, with all of these qualifications, velohi, that's not true. Lo shna ache de aba, velo shna ache de ima, doesn't matter how the child is related to the karov, loshna arasa, veloshna bate, doesn't matter if we're talking about land or a house, veloshna avid itda, veloshna lo avid itda, doesn't matter. Lo machtin, and we don't bring a karov into the property of a katan. A karov is never allowed to do that. The Gemara tells a story, and this was what I sent a picture out today to kind of highlight. It's a shtickle yevamostika case, not super complicated, but it helped me to draw it out. I'll hold up the picture in a second. Aisafta, there was a woman, a grandmother generation woman. The Havila Tlas Benosa. She had three daughters, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Ishtaboy Ihi Vechada Barata. She, the Safta, and one of her daughters were captive. So over here in the picture, I put an asterisk next to the people who were captured. You have the Safta in the top generation, and you have Rivka, Rachel, and Leah in the second generation. And there's an asterisk by Safta and by Rivka, and the two of them are the ones who are held captive. That's what the Gemara says. And then the Gemara says, "Idach tarte benasa." Of the other two girls, namely Rachel and Leah, shechiva chada. I wrote here that Rachel had passed away. Minayhu b'shavka yenuka, and the other one had another child, which is the child over here that's chayim. So let's review the case. We have three generations. Safta and the oldest generation, let's say she's 80. And then you have three kids who are in their early 60s. You have Rivka, you have Rachel and Leah. Safta, who's 80, and Rachel, who's 60, held captive. Safta and Rivka were held captive. Rachel died. The one daughter who's alive has a son. So now it says the Gemara as follows. Amar Abaye, Heichi Na'avid, what should we do? Lemaisa, there might be a Yerusha from the Safta. Rivka is unknown like the Safta. Rachel's dead. The two people who are alive are Leah and her son, Chaim. Do we say, says the Gemara, a third of the way down, Luk minhu lenichse biyada de'achta, do we give it over to Leah the sister? Dilma shchiva safta ve'ein moridin karva nichse katan, because maybe perhaps the grandmother is dead, and we are not morid a karov to nichse katan, so therefore we shouldn't give it to Chaim, we should give it to Leah, or nukminhu, perhaps we should say nukminhu lenichse biyada de'anukam. Ritaka should give the money. We should give the Yerusha from the Safta down to the third generation to Chaim. Dilma lo shchiva Safta, because perhaps the Safta is still alive. Vein moridin katan l'nichse shavui. And the child can't be brought onto the property of a shavui, and therefore she can't give it to Leah, so the child gets it. In short, the arrows that you see here, does the money of the Yerusha at this stage, at the unknown, go to Leah, or does it go to Chaim? That's the Gemara's question. And Amar Abaye, this Gemara should take a good couple days to unpack. We're going to learn it in the 8 minutes we have. Well, actually, we'll make the 9:30 mark. Amar Abaye Hilkach, Palga Yehivna La La'achta, half of the amount of money in discussion, let's say it's 100, so 50 goes to the sister. The Idach Palga, the other half, Mukminan Lan Aputropa Lianuka. The other half gets held by an Aputropa, by a guard of some kind, by a watchman, for the sake of the child. Fine. Rava argues halfway down. Rava Amar, migu de mukminan aputropa lepalga. Because you already have an aputropus, you already have a watchman for the first half, for the child, well, mukminan aputropa leidach palga. Then Leah also isn't going to get her half. Everyone should just have the aputropus hold on to things until we know more about the Safta. I don't know what they were in such a rush for. Lesof says the Gemara, Shamu d'shchiva Safta. Then they found out that the Safta Taka did pass away. We didn't know about the other sister, right? We said that there were two people captured. It was Safta and Rivka. So it says the Gemara, we didn't know about those other two. Amar Abaye, then here we have to do more things. Tilsa yahavinan la'achta. One third we give to the sister, which is Leah, who we know is alive and well. Vitilsa Yahavinan Lianuka. And the third, because we know the Safta died, the son, he's a boy, he's going to get at least some of it, he gets a third. The Idach Tilsa, the final third that potentially could go to Rivka, if in fact she has lived through her captivity. The Idach Tilsa Yahavinan Danka, we give her a Danka, which is a sixth, La'achta, that would go to Rivka. And Ve'idach Tilsa Yahavinan Danka La'achta, let me just read that again. Ve'idach Tilsa Yahavinan Danka La'achta, Ve'idach Danka Mokminan La'aputropa Lianuka. So here's how the breakdown of money goes if we know that the Safta died. A third goes to Leah. A third goes to the child. And there is another Rivka, but we're not sure if she's alive or not. She gets a sixth, and the final sixth is watched over by an aputropa. And here too, Rava says, and with this we'll conclude, Rava says in this case of the Safta with the three daughters, where we know that the Safta died, we don't know the status of Rivka. We know Rachel has died, and Leah is alive, and her son is alive. Rava says, Amar migu demukim aputropa ledanka, because we have an aputropa watching over the 1/6 that we're not sure what should happen to it. So he says over here, both 1/6 should be watched. So therefore, according to Rava, the way the money would break down in our case that we just saw, in this family tree here, the way the money would break down in this case is that one, where we know that the Safta has in fact died, 1/3 will go to Leah, 1/3 will go to Chaim, 1/6, and the next third will be held by an aputropus, but potentially it could end up going to Rivka if she were to end up exiting her captivity. We're going to stop right here at Mari Bar Isak, which is about 2/3 of the way down, and in Yirtzeh Hashem we'll learn that and Daf Mem tomorrow. There is a chance I'll be away one night later this week. I don't know yet. I will of course keep you posted. Wishing you all a beautiful night.